18, 19, and 20. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. In which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. As we look at this portion of the Word of God this morning, we remain on the theme that it is better to suffer for doing what is good than for doing that which is wrong. The theme of unjust suffering. And as we proceed through this portion of Scripture, I think we need to keep this in mind, that this is the basic theme to which Peter is speaking. But here in the at the end of verse 18, Peter points out in a very graphic fashion the results of the unjust suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the verse at the end of verse 18, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Peter here discusses the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. Then in verse 19, Peter discusses another activity of the Spirit through Christ, or another activity of Christ by the Spirit. Verse 19, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. Here we see Christ preaching by the power of the Spirit. And these are the two main points I'd like to direct our attention to this morning. First of all, Christ's resurrection by the power of the Spirit. And secondly, Christ's preaching by the power of the Spirit. It seems to me that the application of these two points is also very vital and very practical. First, Christ's resurrection by the power of the Spirit truly does show us that it is better to suffer for doing that which is good than for doing that which is wrong. And then on the other hand, Christ's preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit shows us plainly that it behooves us to listen when he speaks. First of all, let's look at the end of verse 18. Here Peter presents Christ's resurrection by the power of the Spirit, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, Peter says. On one hand, Christ was put to death in the flesh. This is very plain. Christ was put to death on Calvary's cross. He died with reference to his flesh. Christ's death was a bodily death. He died in his body, in his flesh. On the other hand, Peter says that Christ was made alive in the Spirit. Now, we may well ask the question, how was Christ made alive? The words in the text this morning, made alive, at the end of verse 18, really could be interpreted two different ways. The words made alive in some portions of Scripture refer to the conversion experience, the Christian being made alive in his spirit. On the other hand, the words made alive also may be interpreted as referring to the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Looking at these two very briefly, we see that Paul talks about Christians or unbelievers being made alive, that is, converted. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, When we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Being made alive in this sense is to be converted, to be made alive in spirit. In Colossians 2:13, the Apostle Paul says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all of your transgressions. Here the word made alive has to do with being converted. And so it is that Paul, the apostle in these places, uses these words. But Christ had no need to be converted. Christ had no need to be made alive in this sense. Christ had no need of either salvation or the forgiveness of sins. Christ was not therefore made alive in this fashion. He was not converted. There are other places in the Word of God where these same words, being made alive, refer to the resurrection, the bodily resurrection. Listen to some of these scriptures. For instance, John 5:21. The Father raises the dead and gives them life. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Paul says this, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. In these places, the Apostle Paul uses the words made alive to refer to the bodily resurrection of either believers or the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it seems to me when we look at 1 Peter 3:18, where Peter is speaking of Christ being made alive, he is speaking of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross in his flesh. He died in his body. Christ was also raised from the grave bodily. He was made alive bodily. His body was raised from the grave. But now it's interesting, isn't it, that if you have the New American Standard version of the scriptures, it says he was made alive in the spirit. The better translation here would be made alive by the spirit. By the spirit. The King James version translates it that Christ was quickened by the spirit. The New International version translates the text this way. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. And it seems to me that the true meaning of the text is this, that Christ was raised bodily from the grave by the supreme power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Christ did die on Calvary's cross. He gave up his spirit to his Father. But Christ did not remain in the grave. He came out. And by the power of the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was bodily resurrected. He was once again made alive. And you see that the Apostle Peter here is directing our attention to the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. He truly is. And Peter is telling us of the power of the Spirit. It is by the power of the Spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead. It is by God's Spirit, by the awesome power of the Spirit of God, that Jesus Christ was made alive again. And the Spirit that Peter talks about here, at the end of verse 18, is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But now this brings us to verse 19. As verse 18 speaks of Christ's resurrection by the power of the Spirit, verse 19 speaks of Christ's preaching by the power of the Spirit. Verse 18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom, we may translate it, by whom also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. Now, to help us in the understanding of this difficult passage of Scripture, it would be good for us to ask several questions and to answer them. First of all, to whom is Christ preaching in verse 19? Well, Peter is very explicit here. Christ is preaching to spirits, it says. Spirits, plural. And the word spirits refers to disembodied human spirits. These spirits are not unclean spirits, nor are they demonic spirits. And I think verse 20 shows us that they are human spirits, that they are the spirits of those who are disobedient to the word of God in the time of Noah. By whom also, verse 19, he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. These are human spirits that Peter is talking about. They are disembodied human spirits. But now, why are they disembodied human spirits? And where are these disembodied human spirits? Peter is very plain in verse 19 also. He says that these spirits are in prison. Now, I think we all realize what a prison is. A prison is a place where individuals are confined. And these spirits are being confined. For instance, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. Also, Jude 6 says, angels who did not keep their own dominion, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. These are rather awesome words. But it seems to me that the prison Peter is speaking about is the place where angels, who are spirits, and where disembodied human spirits are committed to await final judgment. The prison is a place of darkness in hell itself, where the spirits of those who have been disobedient to the word of God are bound over to await final judgment. And as Peter writes his epistle, these disembodied spirits are presently in prison. Another question naturally follows. Why are these spirits in prison? Verse 20, it seems to me, clearly answers this question for us. Verse 20. Who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. While Noah was building the ark, these people were disobedient. These spirits were disobedient in the time of Noah, and they perished in the flood. And while Noah was building the ark, they heard the preaching of the word and were disobedient. The same word for disobedience is used in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. If you'd like to look at those verses. Peter says, this precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. This disobedience, this disbelief, is disobedience to the word of God. And to what word were these people disobedient? Well, if you look at 2 Peter again, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, We see something rather interesting here. Peter says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly." Noah was a preacher of righteousness in his day. And Noah preached to the men and women of old the word of God. And verse 20 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter tells us that these men and women were disobedient. And because of their disobedience to the word of God as preached by Noah while he built the ark, the spirits of these people are now in the dungeons of Hades awaiting judgment. Two other important questions remain to be answered, and it seems to me they go together. How and when did Christ preach to these spirits in prison? I must confess that there is a great deal of debate about this particular matter. And the books that have been written would verily fill a very large library. But we must pursue an answer, it seems to me. And let's look briefly at it. How and when did Christ preach to these spirits in prison? How did he preach to them? We have already said that Christ was bodily raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit. And the Spirit mentioned in verse 18 is the very Spirit which is referred to in verse 19. By the Spirit, Christ was made alive from the dead. And by that same everywhere present Spirit of God, Christ preached. And this is the Spirit that is referred to in verse 19. In which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. Listen to how the King James Version translates these verses. The King James says, "Christ was quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." The New International Version puts it similarly. "Christ was made alive by the Spirit," it says, "through which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." In other words, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Spirit of the everywhere present God, Christ preached to those who were disobedient and are now in prison. I think it's important to grasp the significance of what we're saying here. Because if we read the text properly, Christ did not preach by means of his personal individual spirit. When Christ died, his body and his spirit were separated. And this is the biblical definition of death, the separation of the body and spirit. And when Christ died, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And Christ's spirit was yielded up and went into the presence of his Father. His spirit did not descend into hell, as some would have us believe, it seems to me, from this particular text. His spirit did not descend into hell and preach to the departed. And this is not what Peter is trying to teach us in the text this morning. The spirit by which Peter, or the spirit by which Christ preached, was the everywhere present, almighty Spirit of the living God. And you see, this also helps us to understand when Christ preached to these spirits. We are not necessarily talking about the time between Christ's death and his resurrection as the time when Christ preached to these spirits. And the reason this is so is because the power by which he preached was the power of the Almighty Everywhere Spirit of the Living God. But now we pursue it a little bit further. How, we ask, does Christ preach by the Spirit of God? Well, I think Ephesians chapter 2 helps us here. We read it moments ago, and if you'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Paul says very plainly, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near." Paul is talking about Christ preaching. And Paul says Christ came to the Ephesians and preached to them. Now, how did he do this? Christ never went to Ephesus when he lived in this world. In fact, the Ephesians heard the gospel from the lips of the Apostle Paul. Paul preached to the Ephesians. But you see, the preaching which Paul did was preaching by the power of the Spirit of God to the Ephesians. And by the Spirit, Christ preached to the Ephesians through the lips of the Apostle Paul. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And as we go back, you see, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, we may see that the normal way by which Christ, through His Spirit, preaches is through the instrumentality of men. It is through the mouths of mortal men. And this seems to me to be the case in the scripture text before us. You see, the spirits now in prison heard the preaching of Noah, and they were disobedient, and that's why they wound up in the prisons of Hades. And by the power of the Spirit, Christ preached to those spirits who are now in prison. He preached through the mouth of Noah. And while Noah was building the ark, these spirits were disobedient to the word of God which came to them by the power of the Spirit through the mouth of Noah. The Lord willing, we will speak more of this. But the lessons involved in these things, it seems to me, are very profound and practical. First of all, Christ's resurrection by the power of the Spirit vividly displays to you and to me that it is better to suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. What was the end of Christ's suffering unjustly? The end of Christ's suffering was the great and glorious resurrection by the power of the Spirit. And in this light, we may compare 1 Peter 5:6, which says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." Yes, the true believer in Jesus Christ may suffer much unjustly in this life, but it will all result in glory. It will all result in glory. Paul says in Romans 8:18, "I consider that the sufferings of this present age, of this present time, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us." And the true believer may suffer much unjustly in this life, but it will all turn out to glory
in the end.
And the great and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit proves that to us. And then secondly, Christ preaching by the power of the Spirit shows us plainly that we have a great privilege and we ought to take heed. When Noah preached in the days of old, Christ was preaching through him by the power of the Spirit. And when Paul preached to the Ephesians, Christ was preaching through him by the power of the Spirit. And today it's the same. Christ preaches to you and to me through men by the power of the Spirit. And when the Word of God is faithfully presented, Christ is preaching by the power of the Spirit. It should be a great comfort to you and to me to understand that Christ is pleased to come to us by the power of His Spirit, the preaching of His Word. But when we think about this, it also should bring to us something else. Something else should dawn upon each of us at this point. Is Christ preaching by the power of His Spirit as His Word is being presented? Yes. Then shouldn't I listen? Shouldn't I listen to my Lord as He speaks to me? Yes, dear friends in Christ, by the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Christ is pleased to speak to you and to me. Surely, surely we should listen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, the power of your Spirit is great. And we acknowledge that by the power of the Spirit you have been pleased to raise Jesus from the dead. And we glory in that resurrection. And we see that that is our hope. And further we see, O God of heaven, that you are pleased that Jesus Christ should preach to us through the lips of mortal men in the preaching of the Word. What a privilege it is for us to hear the words of Christ. May it be that each of us, myself included, would take heed to His words by the power of the Spirit.